Somebody once said, and I look at it this way too, that the Bible is God's love letter to us. Now, one pastor I listened to, he doesn't like that thought because there's a lot of, well, not a lot, but there is the judgment of God in there and there's the wrath of God. But you know what? To me, it's still a love letter. You know what? Because I kind of think of my mother, once again, don't misunderstand, my mother was the main disciplinarian for various reasons that was, hey, I won't get into it, okay? My dad never really hurt me and so on, but my mother was disciplinarian. And she would have that wooden spoon, never mind a switch, she'd have a wooden spoon, that hurt, buddy, and or the back of her hand, or she'd come up with some type of punishment for Petey, such as write this 100 times. To this day, I don't know what I did. And I didn't think it really bothered her that much, but I remember one day I had her write 100 times something, and then, you know how pens are? They get a little blob of ink at the end. And that's how that pen started off. And then she saw that. That was like the first, second line. I had to do it over again. But even though she was tough like that, I knew my mother loved me. And that's why when I look at God's Word, whether I see the judgment of God or the mercy of God, I look at God's Word as God's love letter for you and me. He's telling us His heart's desire for us. He's telling us what to correct. He's telling us how to correct it through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let me knock that down. We don't need to see that all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Oh, by the way, your outline's on your sheet right there, okay? So that's why it's not on the screen. Got it? You got your sheet there in front of you? The outline's there. And we're in Galatians tonight. And when I look at Galatians, see right there at the beginning of the passage, beginning of the chapter, of the epistle here, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man. I love that. You hear that? Not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And now verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I just want to look at verse 4 there. You see verse 4? It's set up in three sections. And to me, this is speaking of God's merciful love towards you and me. Things that we don't deserve. We don't deserve the redemption of Jesus Christ, all right? Or the redemption that He provides for us. But this is God's merciful love. And the very first, the very first phrase, what does it say? He gave Himself. He gave Himself. Think about those words. He gave Himself for our sins. And I'm not too sure which I'll do this one first, okay? Alright, now I looked that phrase up in the Word of God. And if I'm not mistaken, it only happens in the New Testament. And it only refers to Jesus Christ, if I'm not mistaken. Gave Himself. Alright, gave Himself or has given Himself, either way. Alright, you got it in Galatians 1:4. We just also read it in Galatians 2:20. For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, and there you go, and has given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling aroma. 25, Ephesians 5:25. Every wife needs to highlight this one. Hallelujah. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and what? Gave Himself for her. Christ gave Himself for the church. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 2:6, talking about Christ, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And the last one here, Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed. Oh, you hear that? Do you hear that? In other words, if we're saved, we shouldn't keep on sinning. He has given Himself that we might be redeemed, hallelujah, from every lawless deed. Now, when it says lawless, it refers to God's law. Understand? It refers to God's law. Keep that in mind. But to redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. You're not saved by good works, but if you love Jesus Christ, you will want to be zealous to produce the good works in Him. Now, how did He give Himself? Now, we would be here, and I'm not exaggerating, this is true. We would be here all night. I mean, we would spend a number of weeks just in theology and Bible Institute talking about the atonement of Jesus Christ, what He's done for us. Amen. But He's done many things for us. But it says here, it says here that He gave Himself for us. Now, Kevin read this evening from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 7. How did He give Himself? Again, it says Philippians chapter 2, 5 to 7, that though He was in the form of God, and it could be looked at this way, being in the form of God. In other words, He didn't stop being God. Understand? He didn't have to lay aside His Godhood to do what He did. He just laid aside His prerogatives, His rights, you could say. And this is what you call meekness. And He lived, dependent upon God's Holy Spirit, just like you and I are supposed to be. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal to God, but made Himself of no reputation, low profile Jesus, all right? Made Himself of no reputation. Praise God for that. All right. And taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient. He became obedient to the point of death. And the reason why I pause is because you think about it. He became obedient. He did whatever the Father told Him to do. When He was a little boy, He did whatever the Heavenly Father told Him to do. And a lot of times it was through His parents. Okay? So He listened to His parents as He grew up. But He was obedient. And from the time He was born to the point of death. Hallelujah. And He was obedient to the point of death. Even the death of the cross. That last phrase says a lot. It's so, it's like just a few words there, but it says a lot. On the cross, to die upon the cross was a shameful thing. Some people are ashamed to go to prison. That's good. I'm glad they are. But to be hung upon the cross naked and be battered like that, with a terrible way to die, a shameful way to die, He humbled Himself. You know, He just didn't have a heart attack. He just didn't fall over dead for our sins. It could have happened that way, but no. He humbled Himself. Now, I say that maybe it couldn't have happened that way. Right? No, it couldn't. Lord, correct me on that one. No, it could not happen. Because then Scripture would not be fulfilled. You know what I mean? All right? If someone wants to take a shortcut, people believe in shortcuts, I just have, just put the sins on them and boom, let them have a heart attack and die. No! God's plan was that He would be humbled and that He would be obedient to the point of death, even death upon the cross. Hallelujah. All right, and there the wrath of the Father was poured out upon the Son. Thank God for that. He gave Himself for us. He humbled Himself to die on the cross. Hallelujah. And, if He humbled Himself, our response should be what? We humble ourselves. Too many people walk around saying that they're apostles. That bothers me sometimes, okay? I've told you before what an apostle is, didn't I? Apostle, didn't I? I know I did. Apostle, God's word, means someone that's sent. So that tells me a lot of our missionaries, if they really love the Lord, if they know Christ as Savior, and they're being sent, they're what? They're apostles, right? That we call missionaries. But you got people in this town, you got people in Florida, and elsewhere, they're apostles. And there's something in human beings, we want to give this person respect. It's good to give people respect, but be very careful. Be very careful that you are not worshiping the creation and not the Creator. Apostles, okay? Apostles, prophets. I will not digress. Right, but there's people like that. I'm not saying there's no such thing as prophets and apostles. There are. But you don't have to, you know, carry that title, apostle so-and-so, prophet so-and-so, or, as they got some churches now, first lady so-and-so. You kidding? Never, never, ever. Hallelujah. The greatest title that you can call me or anyone else in the body of Christ is brother or sister. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Amen. All right, humbled himself to die upon the cross. Now, if he humbled himself in that manner, and I didn't give you all the details, I didn't have time to humble himself upon the to die upon the cross. Jesus says that we take up our cross too. So, in a response to that, and that he gave himself for us, is that we are to take up our cross. What does that mean? Well, we read Galatians 2:20 earlier, right? Understand? Galatians 2:20. Now, over in Matthew 16:24 says that, you know, Christ says that we must take up our cross and follow him. If we are going to be his disciple, we need to take up our cross and follow him. But how do you do that? Galatians 2:20 is the foundation. I am crucified with Christ. It's not a make-believe statement. It's not figurative. It is real in the spiritual realm. You are actually crucified with Jesus Christ. If you're actually crucified with Christ, you're actually raised with him. If you're actually raised with him, you're ascended with him. If you're actually ascended, you are seated with him, even though we're all physically right here. Got it? And that's why we can say, sin shall not have dominion over me. Amen. Hallelujah. So you take up your cross. In other words, you humble yourself. And it's never ever, a Christian should get to this point whereby it's never ever what I want or what I desire. It's, Father, whatever you want, whatever you desire. And that's not just for preachers, it's not just for missionaries. I know we hear these stories from missionaries, and it's good that we hear it. All right, now I mentioned people that are apostles. Anyhow, but we heard about one. And I don't know if she said this or not, but if she said it, she said it to teach people. She went out somewhere, Africa or India or something like that, and God told her, you've got to live like these people for a while. And so she just lived outside and maybe lived on a piece of cardboard, stuff like that. And after a while, people began to bring food to her, but, you know, they had maggots in the food, and it was, you know, decayed. And this is what these people eat, too. They're not being mean. This is what these people eat. You go home, I go home. Hey, you know, Sister Dee had a pot of spaghetti. They praise God. Amen. Spaghetti. Hallelujah. Imagine eating a decayed, part of a decayed monkey or a rabbit or something like that. That is disgusting. It is. I don't even disgust you. But understand, this is what this person, God told this person to do that. I believe it. And so, it was a great outreach. And I understand that there's miracles. God uses her in miracles. And okay, that's good. And I'm not doubting it. The only thing is, I'm not there to see it, but I believe it, okay? Because God is God. Amen? He still does the miraculous. I know there's miracles to this day. But we'll move on here. But the thing is, God, the Christian life is not what, you know. You listen to some of these preachers. You know, you're in charge. Good. Watch out for that one. That's why some of this other stuff you are asked to read sometimes, don't read it. Don't listen to it. You're in charge. No, God's in charge. See, they put the proverbial cart before the horse. It's whatever you want. You got a domain. You got a jurisdiction and all that. We do, but it's under God's direction. It's just like the time I was on the ambulance. Even though I got a CRT license, a cardiac rescue license, cardiac rescue technician license, all right? And I was trained to administer certain medications and trained to do certain things. When something happened on the field out there, an emergency occurred, I just didn't do what I want to do. I had to go by a set of rules. And then, not only was the set of rules there, I had to call in. We did that before about the J-pole antenna. I had to call in. Had talked to the hospital to and tell them what I see and all that, and and report ahead of time and wait for any other orders. And those orders would usually supersede. If they gave orders, we would follow those verbal orders, usually. If there's a question, then we would respectfully challenge the order. Got it? Understand? You don't, when God gives us an order, we don't challenge him. Do not challenge him. Hallelujah. All right. Do you see what I mean? It's not what I want to do, and I'm not the one in charge. God's the one in charge. Now understand this, I'm going to say this too. We're living in a time, you got people coming over here from overseas, and some are okay, some are not okay. Some are terrorists, for sure. Some are here to cause trouble, you know it. Because they've done it over in Europe. They're going to do it here, they're going to try to do it here. They started up in Canada too, alright? In other words, one of these days, you and I might be put on the spot. And someone might just grab us. Hey, you're a Christian, huh? All right, let's see if God saves you now. What are you going to do? What are you going to say? Think about it. Now, in your own strength, you cannot do a thing. Understand? You cannot do a thing. And in your own strength, you would cave in. But you've got to stand. You've got to stand by the grace of God. You've got to be hearing God. You've got to have Christ within you. And you've got to let God flow through you. So why not practice that now before someone sticks a knife in your back or a gun to your head or a knife on your neck to decapitate you? Why not practice it now with the trouble that you and I go through? Believe me. The rapture is about to occur pretty soon. I don't know when. And I, even though I believe the rapture occurs before the great tribulation period, I have no guarantee of that. That's up for grabs. But what's not up for grabs is the admonition is that be ready. That's not up for grabs. Be counted worthy to escape all these things. That's not up for grabs. But be ready. Hallelujah. And so in other words, when we encounter trouble, the trouble that you and I encounter, you kidding? You kidding? Look at the trouble other people encounter over in India. This is one reason why we do pray for these prayer needs. And this is one reason. I know one person didn't like it after a while. You know why? Partly because they knew they just couldn't take it. They could not. I don't care how tough you talk, how tough you think you are. It's good to know what's happening to other Christians over there. If that bothers you, then you need to get to the Lord, get on your knees, and talk to the Lord. Lord, I need you. That's okay. Admit that you're weak. Lord, I need you. I'll be unable to stand. I know I'll be unable to stand. You kidding? You think I want my neck cut off? No. Right? No. You think I want to be tormented? No. Right? But by God's grace, if it happens, then I've got to go through it. Understand? And you do too. So how much, so we get these little, compared to that, we get these other troubles, and compared to those possible troubles or anything that these people are facing across the seas, what we got is real small. I'm not trying to belittle anything, but you got to understand. Use that small thing as a tool now. Do it now. Do what God wants you to do, not what you want to do, but do what God wants you to do now, so when the big stuff comes along, you'll be ready, all right? You'll be able to respond by the grace of God. He became sin. Devotion, he gave himself for us. How? Okay, he died upon the cross. Yeah, he became sin. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:21. You know what it says. He who knew no sin was made sin. Why? That we might become the righteous of God. He was made to be sin, not just as a nice example to, we need to aspire to that, we need to gravitate to that. No. He became sin so I might become, I may become the righteous of God. Understand? There's a transference there. He became my substitute. So he can be placed in my heart and in my life so I can become the righteous of God. Same way with you, understand? He became a curse. I think we read that earlier, didn't we? 3:13. Alright? Congregation read that passage. All curses, he became a curse upon the cross. And because of that, all curses against us are canceled on the cross. But we've got to enter into that. Understand? Understand. Alright? People talk about the descendants of Ham. There's a curse on them. Well, yes, there was. Noah cursed Ham. But you know, in Christ, it's canceled. It's canceled. It's canceled out. I believe that people can put curses on those. It's scriptural at all. But if you get saved, it's canceled. Hallelujah. In Jesus Christ. And it cannot stand. And you got, the thing is, you got to act upon it. See, the devil plays with your mind. There's that curse upon you. And the devil plays with your mind. But you got to act upon what Christ has already done. So we respond. You know, if Christ became a curse, we respond by renouncing all sin. Now, before that, once again, I want to emphasize Galatians, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin was made sin, so that we might become the righteous God. So we got to respond by becoming the righteous God. Let God's Holy Spirit work through us. Let the fruits of the Holy Spirit flourish through us. And this one here, he became a curse. So how do we respond? We respond by renouncing all sin. By renouncing all sin. There is a, for example, there is a curse if you steal. It enters into the house. There is a curse if you bear false witness, if you lie. There's a curse that enters your house. So how do you keep the curse away? You renounce sin. If you've done it, then you ask God to forgive you. I'm not going to do it again, Father. Help me not to do it again. And so you renounce sin. You turn your back upon sin because rest assured, well, here's another one. If you don't honor your father and mother, guess what? There's a curse upon you. So guess what we need to do? Renounce sin and honor our father and mother. We can go on and on with these different things here. We respond in love by renouncing all sin. Respond in love by being a blessing. We don't want to be a curse on the face of the earth. We want to be a blessing. We were once part of darkness. We were unsaved. But now, if we're saved, we are now the light, part of the light. We are the light of the world. We want to be a blessing to others. Hallelujah. And not a curse. And then one more thing here about giving himself. Think about that. Who gave himself that we might be rescued. Jesus said in John 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Hallelujah. He laid down. It wasn't taken from him. He laid down his life for you and for me. Hallelujah. And for what happens then? Deliverance. Okay? It says here in verse 4 of Galatians, chapter 1, who gave himself for our sins, that, why? That he might deliver us from this present evil age. And you know that this current time period is very evil. It sometimes it's right there out in front, you know, murder, rape, theft, and so on. All those things are right out front. But then there's the little things that even Christians say, it's okay. Instead of saying, God bless you, people say, good luck, brother. You kidding? Take a bar of soap and wash my mouth out if I ever say that. All right. Good luck. But you see, society says that quite a bit. We grow up that way, right? Remember I said it when I was first saved, I had trouble stopping cursing because I grew up that way. Well, the curse is aside, but still we got this. Good luck. And other stuff going on, too. And so on. When we come around Resurrection Day, a lot of preachers are going to say, Easter time! Easter time. Where did that come from, man? That's pagan! That's a pagan term, Easter. It's not even in the actual text. It's in the Old King James, as in the Earth Authorized Version, but that doesn't mean it's right. In the Greek, it's not there. It's Passover. But you see what I mean? So there's evil comes in different ways. Our evil here is, what does it mean here? Real quick, all right? Watch this. Now, it's a twofold definition. This word for evil is twofold. And I understand he wants to deliver us from this present evil age. I'll give you the, the secondary one first, which is this, all right? Evil. Full labors. Annoyances. Have you been annoyed this week? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. All right, this present evil age. All right, annoyances, hardships. How you been good? All right. Alright, pressed and harassed by labors, bringing toils, annoyances, perils, of a time of full peril. Now here we go, of a time of full peril, true Christian faith. Not just to Christian, but to the Christian faith. All right? And steadfastness, causing pain and trouble. Now, when I read that definition, that one definition there, which I will call secondary for our purposes tonight, it reminds me of the time that a little baby boy was born to a man called Lamech. And Lamech lived right before the flood, you can say. And he had all this line. And when Enoch came, if I understand correctly, Enoch, his name meant that, I forget how it was, but anyhow, it pointed to a time that the flood's coming, and that there'll be a certain person born, and the flood's going to come, and that's it. And so when Noah's born, though, and keep this in mind, right, you got how many generations, I think, 9 or 10 by that one, Lamech is 9th, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I forget how many generations in Genesis, but look at the generations there, and if you remember, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, Yahweh God was very specific in stating to Adam and Eve that the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head and the serpent will bruise his heel. Very clear that Messiah would have to come to live, die, and rise again. By the time you get to this 9th or 10th generation, people forgot. You don't see that message there when Noah was born. But what you see is this other part. Oh, the Messiah is going to come, and we're going to be relieved of our toil and trouble. See? That's what they were thinking. God cursed the ground because of Adam. And then when Messiah comes, that curse is taken away. So they're looking at that. They're not looking at the reason why did God curse that ground. Why did he? So we don't destroy ourselves. For one thing. Okay. He did it for our benefit. So we cursed the ground, and we got more trouble, more annoyances, more toil and trouble just planting a garden or having a farm. And so here Lamech has a son, he names him Noah, because he felt this one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which Jehovah has cursed. And that was from Genesis 5:29. Alright. So it does mean that in this present evil age there will be lots of annoyances, a lot of hardships. But also, evil in this verse means bad. Bad nature or condition. Alright, diseased or blind in the physical sense, ethical sense, evil, wicked, bad. Alright, and this is how this present age is. It's evil. It's annoying, and it's morally corrupt. Whether it's big corruption or little corruption, it is corrupt. Understand? A lot of people say, so what? You mean, this little stuff, you don't believe in Halloween, and you're being nasty, you're not going to give candy to the kids. There's different reasons why I won't, right? But I'll use this illustration again, and again, and again, and again. Use it before, use that when we're up on Ray Street. Open the bottle of water. This is right now, it's pure. But if we just took it off the shelf right now, and I open it up, and then brush my hair over it, would you want to drink it? No. If I sneezed over it? No. Right. But you can't see the little viruses. You can't see, you might be able to see, it's just a little speck of dandruff in there. Right? Maybe a little lice. But, a little speck of dandruff in there, it's just a little bit. And you can say, no. Well, how much more should it be in the spiritual realm? Not one bit of evil. Amen? Not one. I don't care. What do we watch on TV? We should be watching certain things on TV. We should be listening to certain things on the radio. That's why God spoke to my heart years back about Simon Garfunkel. As far as I know, if I remember correctly, not one dirty word in Simon and Garfunkel's music. Not one. But there was a lot of innuendo. A lot of suggestion. And it was quite depressive at times. All these things like that. Alright? And God spoke to me, you gotta get rid of that. Because it's bothering you. And you may not know it. I did know it. But there's different things that be very careful. Be as pure as you can be. Don't look at the dirty stuff, even if it's, you know, it doesn't seem dirty. Just don't. Just spend time with God. Just spend time in His presence. Yeah, our sinful nature would drag us down into this present evil age. It would. Our sinful nature would just drag us into it, drag us into these whirlwinds and whirlpools that are out there. But we gotta, you know, just as Christ gave Himself for us, we need to give ourselves to Him. Hallelujah. And so, Colossians 1:13. Here's another thing, too, that is comparable to this phrase, where it says, all right, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil age. Colossians 1:13 says as follows, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. I'm so glad of that. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, one translation says translated us, I love that better, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, of His love. If you're saved, that's what God done for you. Alright? So why should we have any bit of darkness within us? Understand? That's why, for example, I'll give some more examples. I will not play cards for money, even if it's make-believe money. Will not do that. In other words, gambling. Right now, there's games whereby you use make-believe money, but you're not gambling. Understand? But I won't do stuff like that. You say you might send them off deep end. No, I want to be close to the Lord. And for me to get close to the Lord, I don't need anything negative in my life. How about you? How about you, amen? Your last thing is this direction. Living a time people don't know what's happening, where they're going, what they're supposed to do. Who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God, our God and Father. According to the will of our God and Father. Now, first of all, at the top, what is God's will? He's not willing any should perish. That means me, you. So if He's not willing any should perish, then I should endeavor to stay close to Him. Because you can't fall from grace. If you read all of Galatians, you can't fall from grace. I heard something the other day. Oh, yes. I was washing dishes. It was listening to a preacher talk. And I heard a guy called Jamie Northrup. Over in Iowa, a member of Pastor Randall's church, and he talked about some Baptist doctrines, one of which is irresistible grace, that you can't resist it. Look at the church here at Galatia. If you read the whole epistle, he says you have fallen from grace. Whatever happened to irresistible grace? How can you fall from irresistible grace? Yeah. How can you fall from something that's irresistible? All right, but that's never mind about that. The thing is, the point I'm bringing out is you and I want to stay with the Lord. And if He's not willing, it should perish. That means He wants everyone to get saved and stay saved. Even our enemies. You hear that? Even our enemies. Even the people we don't like. Even the people that gave us a rough time. Even the people that are in annoyances. Alright. He's not willing that they should perish. And so what's God's will also? That we might become the children of God. And that's also from, over in John chapter 1, verse 12. But that's God's will, that we become His children. Alright, and how do you, well, you have a little baby that comes into the world and right away they're drinking milk and stuff like that. But as they grow up, they just can't keep on drinking milk. What do? They need to eat food and learn how to drink it. Really feed themselves too after a while. See, all this in the natural realm teaches us how we're to be in the spiritual realm. Okay? So in other words, God, what does Jesus say over in the Gospel of John? If you're going to follow Him, if you're going to be a disciple, if you're going to have eternal life, you must eat His flesh and drink His blood. Now, He's not talking about these emblems up here. Alright? Because he was very clear. You must eat My flesh and drink My blood. He said that a couple of times. He said enough that people say, you're nuts, we're out of here, Jesus. You're crazy. That's true. You read that passage. That's over in John chapter 6. Then He charges His disciples and says, are you guys going to leave too? We had nowhere else to go. You got the words of eternal life. Hallelujah. I'm so glad they said that. Aren't you? That's what we should say too. But what does he say? We must eat his flesh. In other words, we must partake of his divine character every day. You got that Frazier's back that you are what you eat. Well, eat Jesus. Hallelujah. Right? You are what you eat. Eat Jesus in the spiritual realm. Jesus said in John 6, verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats, that's in the continual sense, or continuous sense you could say, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. So the world is dying in sin, it's really dead. They think they got life. Okay, we're going to carouse tonight, you know, come New Year's Eve, there's going to be people up to 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. We're having a grand old time. They think that's life. That's not life. You kidding? Life is just being in the presence of God. Hey, hallelujah. And not just for me. But that's what eternal life is about. That is Zoe. All right? Zest. Hey, well, you know, you can still be up at 12 o'clock at night, but, you know, look at the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But his flesh, in other words, you partake of Christ every day. That's why you should read God's Word. Why we don't read God's Word is because the flesh, your flesh, doesn't want to be crucified. You read God's Word, you'll see different things that you got to follow through. Oh, do I got to do that? Oh, come on. That's got to be figurative. We'll just brush that off. That was for yesterday. No! No, no, no. That's there to help us. Hallelujah. You eat his flesh. And whatever he says to do, we do. Hallelujah. All right? Whatever he would do, we do. As we learn more of Christ through the written word, the spoken word, and obedience to the same. Maybe I said that too fast. We learn from Christ through his written word and also his spoken word to our heart. He speaks to us. You listen to him. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, and so on. Apologize, do this, go here, and so on. All right. The spoken word and obedience to the same. See, that's how you eat the flesh. We take on more of this character during the course of time. The fruits of the Holy Spirit become evident in our life, and we become partakers of divine moral nature. 2 Peter 1:4. So that's what you want to do. Become more and more like Christ. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are then developed in your life, my life. Then he says, drink my blood. John 6, verse 53. I got to think when he said blood a lot of times. What did the Old Testament say? The life is in the blood and the soul and so on, basically. Understand that, okay? All right, drink my blood. His desires. Hallelujah. All right? How he feels. Now, by the way, let's talk about blood for a minute. You got something right? How many got blood? You got blood? Raise your hand. You know what type you got? I'm B positive. Man, I need B positive all the time. B positive. So I tell myself, B positive. All right, but your blood does a number of things. One thing is, it carries oxygen to the cells of your body. Got it? That's why your heart pumps. All right, so your heart carries oxygen to various parts of your body, through all your body, really, because every cell in your body needs some. Hallelujah. All right. And so, you just like that. Christ is, the Holy Spirit is the spiritual air that I breathe. Hallelujah. That's that spiritual oxygen that I need. The presence of Christ is what I need every day. I don't want to live without it. The presence of Christ. And then there's that, what else does the blood do? All right, once it goes down to your cells, it comes back and look at your arm, you'll see these veins. I could say a lot about that, how God designed us. Those veins are, there they are, veins. All right? They're darker. Your blood's not blue, it's just darker, okay? It's just dark red if they would get cut. But what's happened is it's carrying away wastes. That's part of its job there too. Part of the job of the blood is to carry away the wastes from the cells. And it gets channeled through your kidneys and your system and your bowels, stuff like that. And it gets eliminated from your body. Otherwise, you would die. All right? The toxins would build up. Hallelujah. Thank God, though, for the cleansing we have in Jesus Christ in the spiritual realm. You see this? The same thing. Drink my blood. Drink the blood of Christ. Why? We need his oxygen and we need his cleansing. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. It takes the toxins out. Amen? But that's why some people don't want to worship a lot of times. They don't want to get into the same mood that God wants us to get into. They don't want to have the heartbeat of God. They're afraid. they want to keep their toxins. No, we want to eat His flesh, drink His blood. Therefore, we want to have continual fellowship with Him every time, all the day. Hallelujah. Continual. Well, continuous, I should say. Fellowship, it doesn't stop. And you keep on going. I got a notation there. What verse is that? It doesn't say, okay. No, it just is worship and so on, right? Continuous fellowship with Him. You don't let that stop. Now, if you are listening to something on a radio, watching something on a computer, TV, or talking to your friends, stuff like that, and they start telling dirty jokes, do you think that fellowship is continuing with God? I don't think so. That's why whatever we do, we try to focus upon the Lord. The Lord. The Lord. That's no life. No, that is life, buddy. That is life, okay? All right. Well, you're a preacher. You're supposed to be one, too. Did you know that? Proclaim the Word of God. Everyone, hallelujah. Not just me. Not just Pastor Wheatley. Everyone, hallelujah. Okay? Everyone does that. Everyone's supposed to be a king in God's eyes. Everyone's supposed to be a priest in His eyes. Hallelujah. Alright, that's for everyone. And so here we got here that who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God our Father. And this other point, this last one is this. God wants the best for us. The best for us. This present age is not the best for us. This present life is not the best for us. He wants the best for us. And so Christ gave of Himself to rescue us, to deliver us, get us out of this present evil age. Now, we're still here physically, but, you know, I feel relaxed. I feel blessed in the Lord. I know this nasty stuff's coming down the pipe, but I know that God is in charge. Jesus has this. Hallelujah. And He'll see us through. He'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Hallelujah. And so, but God lovingly desires the best for us. And it may not be what we think is best. Understand? It may not be what we think is best. God, I need this, I need that, and all that. And you maybe you do, but then before you get it, you need something else. More of the character of Jesus Christ. More of His life within you. More of His Spirit flowing through you. Now tonight, as we receive the elements before we see it, take some time to be with the Lord, talk to Him, let Him work on your life, and let Him touch your life. Father, we thank You, Lord, that Your Son gave Himself for us. Hallelujah. Father, help us to give ourselves back to Him, that we might bring You honor and glory. Help us to do so out of a heart of love, because we do love You, we want to love You with our whole heart, so on. Help us, Father, to give ourselves to You completely. If someone is not saved listening to this message tonight, you need to make rededication to the Lord. That's good. Come to the Lord. He's there. He's always willing to forgive. Always willing to heal. Always willing to fix our life. Pray this prayer. Father, forgive me. I ask that You cleanse me. I am a sinner. I ask that You cleanse me. I ask Christ's kingdom to be my king. I surrender my all. I give You my all. Father, help me, Lord, lift You, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Friend, if you have prayed that prayer of dedication to Jesus Christ and have meant it, it is time to grow in Him. And some time back, God had helped me to produce a recording titled Seven Roots for Growth in Christ that will help young Christians, young spiritually, of course, to grow in Him. That's Seven Roots for Growth in Christ. You'll find that recording in the same general location that you found this one, Seven Roots for Growth in Christ. Thank you for listening. May God greatly and wonderfully bless you.